We have come to lift His name on high and sing praises to His name, to get into the Word, and just to worship together. Welcome, church family, and welcome guests. Would you stand with me as we sing praises to the Lord?
Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your You came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my death to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I lift Your name.
Well, good morning. That you know, you've been picking these songs that I just don't want to stop singing them, you know. Hey, we have a lot going on. First of all, today's Flag Day. And I know that may mean different things to different people, and but it represents a symbol of a nation. It's a banner for us. And we are meeting here today. And what a gift that is. We have many people that are traveling. We got people at camp, people coming back to camp. And just the fact that we can go over border from state to state, it's huge. And we just take for granted the blessings that we have here in the U.S. And we're very, very blessed. And so today, as we consider Flag Day, I don't even know if many of you even knew it. But let's just be thankful to God. And let's, again, as we talked a few weeks ago, let's not be... You know, never let's elevate our love and pride for our country to be above our love and our pride for our Lord, because we are one nation under God. So what a blessing. And I'm still stuck in February. I've yet to get up with y'all. Today is June, right? June 23rd, Ohene is coming. You remember, he's a pastor, he's a missionary, he's from Ghana. Oh, a wonderful man. He's coming on the 23rd. Zoe's setting up for us to where we can have a fellowship dinner with him over at the Pretty the Key Oyster Bar. And join on that. On the bulletin board, there's a sign-up sheet. So we just need to know who's coming so we can set up a space so we can visit with him. And I hope you'll be a part of that. You'll be blessed. And we'll pray for him, but more importantly, we'll get him to pray for us, because we want some of what he's doing. And he's an awesome man. Next, we got Camp Happy Sands coming up, and so you'll see the green inserts, all about that. So local missions is something that we do once a year. And if you have any questions or you want to respond to that, please call Lavinia and hunt her down. She's right over there. We raise your hand, and it's a great blessing. It's a good thing to be a part of, but call her, get her phone number if you don't have it. And then we got VBS coming up, and... So be a part of that. We need all hands on deck. Be aware that your Sunday school rooms and all, everything's going to be transformed, I believe, into a jungle, right? All right, and that's going to be fun. But with that, speaking of kids, Tom, I don't know how many kids you got today. I know mine are off going to Boy Scout camp, but if you're below sixth grade, we'd love for you to come and join the front here today. All right, here comes a few. Yeah, the Forbes are traveling. My kids are traveling. Suttons are traveling.
Yes. So I've got two. And that's a funny thing, because, you know, I planned on 15. If I'd have planned on two, I'd have had 15, huh? Well, as our pastor said, today is Flag Day. You know what that means? What is this? You guys can tell me. What kind of flag? That's an American flag. This is our symbol of the United States of America. It's very important to all of us, I hope, but especially those of us who have served our country. This has special meaning, okay? Today is Flag Day. This is a day that Congress set aside for us, for everybody in America to fly their flag. So I'm going to give y'all one today. I want you to fly your flag, okay? Take it. Excuse me. Yeah, you know when they done that? Back in 1877. And it was based off something that King David had done. In Psalms chapter 20, verse 5, it says, "May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners." That's what the American flag stood for. You know, it stood for one nation under God. When we were set up to be a Christian nation. So this flag has very big importance to us Christians because we were free to worship however we saw fit to worship, whether it was in a Baptist church, a Methodist church, it didn't matter. We were free to do that. So it was very important that we have that banner and we wave it high, okay? So that's right, wave that flag high. And the real story behind it was, you know, it's supposed to be flown all week. It's Flag Week. We have a Flag Day because President decreed it a day, and up until recently, every president thereafter from Washington on had decreed it Flag Day. So let's wave our flag proudly and remember that it's God, country, and family. And the reason he done that was because God and family protect our country. So it's very important that we do this, okay? So I'm going to ask everybody to sing with me since I only have two children. We all know America the Beautiful. So let's sing the first verse of America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining. Let's all remember that it's because of God that we have this freedom that we call America. All right, guys.
I can remember the first day that the flag really meant something to me. As a young adult, my dad was in the Marines, my grandfather was in the Marines, I was in the Marines. But as a young guy, I was like, okay, you got the right to burn the flag. We should have the right to punch you when you do it. I don't think that's been approved, and I don't think God would approve it either, okay? But I can remember starting second phase when I was in boot camp in Paris Island, it all became real what I was doing whenever we got to do a flag ceremony, and you're sitting there and you got your M16, you're saluting, and it's going up, and I remember it being a very emotional experience. Not only were the drill instructors beating the fool out of all of us, but it came to reason why. Why am I doing all this? Because of a great nation that God has allowed us to live in. And so very thankful. But have you come today? Have you come today to worship? I don't know what your day's been like. It may have been a rough morning. Yeah, I don't know what your week's been like. But why are you here today? Have you come to worship the Lord? Is your heart ready? Let's take a moment together and you pray. You confess to God who He is and confess to God any challenges that you may have. And what a blessing that we have is that we have a God who considers it fellowship when we talk about Him or talk to Him about the struggles that we're going through. You take a moment, prepare your heart to worship your God. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, hear our hearts today. Father, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, when I get distracted. Forgive me, Lord, when I feel my schedule so full of so many different things, often church-related things that take my focus off of you. Forgive me, Lord, when I don't allot myself the amount of rest that it takes to live for you to the full capacity each and every day. Lord, I'm thankful for your favor in my life and in the life of this church. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful, Lord, for the nation that we live in, that we can come and we can freely worship. And Lord, there's challenges coming against that each and every day. And Lord, may we be found faithful in serving you in the way that you've called us to serve. Lord, may we truly be a beacon, Lord, to a lost community in the way that we live our lives, the way we smile, the way we shake hands, the way we greet people, Lord, even on days when we don't feel well. Father, we pray, we invite your Holy Spirit, Lord, in this place. And Lord, as we worship you through song, and as we look into your word, may you and only you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me as we invite the Holy Spirit to be among us this morning? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. We're going to sing that again. Let's make it a little more personal and let's say, fill my heart. Let's make it personal. Holy Spirit, you are close to him. Draw us, Lord, right by your side.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Oh, blessed Redeemer, sing, O Lord, this wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children.
To the Lord, all the
Amen. You know, some people think that Jesus came to reign on their parade, but he did not. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Casting Crowns said it a little differently. They said, we were made for more than ordinary life. We were made to thrive.
Like the sun.
much fun up there, weren't they? Amen. That is good. That is good. God is good. We are going to continue our worship in Acts 9. You might look at your bulletin and say, hey, you know, this is the same passage that we looked at last week. And, you know, so what's up with that? And it is the same passage. And instead of going to 1:30, I thought we'd break it up into two sermons. And I imagine many of you will be, you know, there was one day we got out a few weeks ago. It was kind of early, and everybody was smiling much more than they normally do. And so I got the hint. But we're going to be in Acts 9. And remember last week, we shifted back to Peter. We had taken a couple weeks and we really looked at the ministry of Saul, or at the beginning of Saul's conversion. And then his ministry was just getting started. And then in this part of Acts 9, we come back to Peter's ministry. And if you remember, we left Peter. He was going from Samaria to Jerusalem. And he kind of took a, I guess for them it'd be a western hook. As he left Samaria, then he went to Luda, and then he, in what we saw last week, and we'll read again, he went to Joppa, and Luda is now the city of Lod, and Joppa is now the city of Jaffa, which is just south of Tel Aviv, and so Peter was kind of in a C pattern, I guess you could say, as he was going a little bit more westerly on his way to Jerusalem. But last week, while we focused on the healing ministry and does God still heal today? Can God still do miracles today? And our summation of that was, it was yes, because this was never about a man, about the man Peter, that is. And it was about the healing power of God and the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And so as we read today, let's read it from a light of not so much of the healing and the raising of Tabitha that's going on here, but let's look at Peter and look at as him being obedient and how he's exercising his spiritual gift. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I titled it, and not in case you didn't get it, I had fun when I titled it, but The Thriving Ministry, and we could say this is part two as it's coming out of the same passage, but part you, if you get that. So follow along with me, if you will, in Acts 9, verses 32 through 43. It says, now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Luda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. And immediately he got up. And all who had lived in Luda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated in Greek, is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Luda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and then she saw Peter, and she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive, became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. So here again, first glance, the passage is—it's easy to get focused on the miracles. It's easy to see the great things that God does. When there are things that we see today, we wonder, you know, well, what's going on? Is that ministry that we see on TV or whatever, and some of the things going on, is that fake? And, you know, does our Lord really move like this today? Well, you know, and we agreed last week from what we saw in the world, the Word, that yes, our Lord is still, He's abounding and He is great and He can do anything and all things, and that we are still in the church age, and we saw that the spiritual gifts are to edify the church and to glorify God in the church age, and we are still there. But here today, we just want to look at, we see Peter. Peter obviously has a spiritual gift of healing. And while we look at what, you know, at what is being done, notice what Peter did. You know, he never said, "Aeneas, get up, you're healed," or "I said you're healed." He said, "No, Jesus Christ heals you." And then when we looked at Tabitha or Dorcas in the Greek, we see that before he said anything, he knelt down and prayed. It was the work of God through His spiritual gift. And what we're going to look at today is that everything we do as followers of Christ should be according to our giftedness. Whether it's serving, whether it's teaching, healing, praying, loving, obedience, regardless of what we're doing, it should come through the spiritual giftedness, because it's not our strength. It's not us who is doing it. It is the Holy Spirit that is working through that gift that He has given us. And so what better way to look at this topic about Peter, but in a letter that Peter wrote. So if you'd follow me in 1 Peter, we're going to go to 1 Peter 4. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Now, this is a timeless letter, and it was written to all Christians. It was written through the dispersion after the church went through various trials and persecution. The church spread much like if you were trying to put fire out on an oil fire. The oil would go out and the fire would spread. This is what the church was doing as different leaders were coming against the church. And so this letter is from Peter to the church. And what it says here in verse 10 of chapter 4, it says, "As each one has received a special gift," and this is Peter, he's writing about many, many things here, but here he's writing specifically about spiritual gifts. And what we'll see first here is that we all have a spiritual gift. Starting back at verse 10, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So here we see, first of all, we're going to break down these two verses here, is that first, we all have a spiritual gift. If we are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you would call yourself today a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. And here we see specifically in verse 10, opening it up, he says, "As each one," remember, this letter is written to the church. And if you are a part of the church, it's not about your membership role, or about your membership, your name being on the membership roll of Perdita Bay Baptist Church. It's about being a follower of Christ and your name being written in the book of life. It says, "As each member of the church, of the universal church, followers of Christ, has received a special gift." And more study as we go in this special gift, what he's talking about is a spiritual gift. He says, each one has a spiritual gift. Each of you as a follower of Christ has a spiritual gift. Well, what are those? Well, we won't write these down. We won't go through all these passages today, but we have in the past. But you write these down, and I'm going to read these lists. In 1 Corinthians 12, you'll find this list. You'll find Paul writing about apostles. And you're like, there's only 12, or if you count Paul, there's 13. But really, there's the little a, not the apostles who are with Jesus, but those who are the sent ones who are carrying out the word of God. Prophets. I'm not talking about Isaiah and about Jeremiah. I'm talking about people who the Holy Spirit has gifted to speak the truth today, the truth of God's word. And we see teachers, miracles, healing, helps, I believe that would be service, administration, tongues, but tongues can't be without interpretation. And then in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we see the most excellent one is love. And in Romans 12, we see some others that Paul lists are very similar to the list we just read, but we see prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, which is encouragement, giving, and leadership. Then in Ephesians 4:11-15, we see apostles, again, the little a apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And so here we see these are some specific gifts that we find, again, in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. Each one, if we're a follower of Christ, has been given a spiritual gift, and it is most likely among this list. And to be exercised in a relevant way in the church and our community today. And we see next, so as we all have a spiritual gift, we follow here where there's an expectation that we exercise those spiritual gifts. Look what it says here. It says, employ it. Employ what? Employ the gift that we've been given in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace, the manifold grace of God. Well, what is a steward? A steward is a manager or somebody who looks after and takes care of another person's property. And here we're seeing that right now we are stewards of God and what God has given us. Whether and here it would be that gift. We're a steward of God's time. We're a steward of the lives that we have been given. We're stewards of the finances. Everything that we have in our life, whether it's possessions, treasures, whatever we'd call, well, we got our treasures, time, and talents. Everything that we have been given. What did Job say? Naked I come into this world, and naked I'm going to go out. Nothing you have belongs to you. It is a gift and a blessing through the favor of God. How do you steward those things? How do you live for those things? Well, specifically today, we're talking about our giftedness that we've been given. And we see that there's two examples that in verse 11. It says, whoever speaks, for whatever reason, is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And then it gives us another example where it says, and whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. We have a spiritual gift, and we see clearly that there is an expectation that we exercise, that we employ it, that we implement it in our lives. Not only while when we visit together on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whenever, it is something that's supposed to be a part of us when we wake up in the morning in our homes, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our social places, even in Tom Thumb when you're buying coffee. However and whatever, you never know how the Spirit of God wants to work through your life. Say, if it's a gift of God in the Spirit, then He is doing a work through that gift. Oftentimes, we want God to work through ways that we haven't been gifted. And while He can do those things, when we are faithful to exercise the gift that we have been given, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's just logical that the Holy Spirit is going to work through that gift. Next, we see that not only does He expect us to exercise those gifts, not only do we see that God works through those gifts that He has given us, we see that God is glorified through our gifts. So why do we have gifts? We see that Peter responds to that down in verse 11. And he says, so that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why? Because it says again, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever, ever, and ever. None of the glory belongs to us. You know, when we read about Peter here just a few moments ago, never is it about Peter. Never did we hear it was about Peter. I mean, obviously he was the main character in that historical account. But Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. And before he said anything to Tabitha, he got on his knees. Not only did he just pray and, you know, God is good, God is great, raised Tabitha from the dead. No, he got on his knees and he prayed. And then he got up and then he spoke those words to her.
It was never about Peter. And when we exercise our spiritual gifts for the glory of God, it should never be about us. You know, sometimes we can hear in the church and other places, we, you know, to hear about a ministry being somebody's baby. You know, when that ministry becomes our baby, then we have just taken it out of the hands of God. We've just taken it out of the hands of the Holy Spirit, and it's become ours. And while we can do many good things, we can't do many God things outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. And what was the outcome? We saw an outcome both with Tabitha and with Aeneas. We saw that in both, many believed in the Lord. I tell you, we can do good things all day long in the church. We can do good things all day long through our different various ministries. But until we are tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit, it is just a good thing, and most likely there will not be many believing in the Lord. Yeah, the church is doing good things. It looks good. It smells good. It must be good. Not always if it's in our own strength and if it's glorifying us. Consider the exercise of your spiritual gift. Are many coming to know the Lord through the work that you are doing? Let's go and look at something. Let's look at Matthew 5:16, at how our spiritual gifts glorify the Lord. Matthew 5:16. This whole page is red. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to his disciples. Up in 13, that's where he's telling about the salt of the earth. He's telling that we're a light of the world. And then in verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way." Well, what is your light? It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ living inside you. There is no light. If it's based on you and your goodness, there's only darkness, because there is nothing good in you except the blood of Jesus Christ that may wash you. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then it is true in the Word of God that there is nothing good about you. And I don't mean that to hurt your feelings. It is truth. Followers of Christ, there is nothing good about us except for the blood of Christ that washes us clean. There is no light in us unless it be the Holy Spirit. It says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works." Now, you're letting your light shine. That means you are faithfully serving, following, seeking the Word of God, seeking His righteousness, seeking His kingdom in such a way that He's working through you in a way that you don't know. If you are promoting your good works, well, you've missed it. Why, though? And it says, "So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Everything we do, powered by the Holy Spirit, is for the purpose of glorifying God. We've all been given a spiritual gift. We are expected to exercise that spiritual gift. And then God works through those spiritual gifts. And as He works through those spiritual gifts, He is glorified through the gifts that have been given to us. Now, how did Peter know to go to Aeneas? How did he know what to say to Tabitha? Because of his walk with the Lord, there was a maturity there. He had grown up. He had been discipled. He had walked with Christ. And remember, we are several years into this, even though we're only in Acts 9, and it looks like, hey, we can read that in 45 minutes. But the reality here is that several years have passed. He is a mature disciple of Jesus Christ because he is seeking the Lord daily. And we see there are places where Peter has failed. And there's been correction. There's been repentance. And there has been a turning to where he is truly seeking the holiness of God. He is truly seeking to do God's work. And he's even facing persecution. We've already seen him go through that. They were flogged and they walk away rejoicing. How many of us would walk away rejoicing if we were flogged today? Some of us say somebody says something, not even, it has to be a bad word, but a word that is less than edifying to us, and our day is shot. Here, Peter was a disciple of Christ who had grown. He had grown because he was seeking God's righteousness. He was seeking to serve the kingdom of God, and it was no longer about himself. He had nothing to offer except Jesus Christ and the giftedness that he had been given. That's how Peter knows. So why did many get healed? We talked about that last week. Faith. Their faith. Peter was able to walk in such a way that he had a faith. And we come to understand that while we operate within the framework of God's Word, that anything is truly possible. Do you believe that? Where Jesus Christ, he says, anything through me is possible. And when we operate within the framework of God, all creation, how was it made? Through the Word of God. Jesus Christ in John 1, we see clearly that he is the Word of God. And when we operate completely, and I would say there's very few people in here, including myself, that understand how to operate completely within the framework of God's Word, it's a whole new ball game where anything and everything within God's strength and God in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of God's outstretched arm is possible, including healing that we see Peter exercising here. Why? To glorify God. So, question, do you have faith? Whatever spiritual gift you have been given, we just talked about all the lists, and there could even be a few others found in other places throughout Scripture. But do you have faith in God's indwelling power in you? Are you living in such a way that is beyond the four walls of this building? Are you living in such a way to where it's just an intimate walk with the Lord? Our association, we have Dr. Bob Green, and then we have Kim Johnson, that's his assistant. Kim sent out a picture, it was a motivational picture the other day, and she was encouraging all the pastors in the area, and it was a picture of a football stadium, and it was, I guess it was track runners, and there was nobody in the stands except for the track folks, and they were running bleachers. If you've ever been an athlete, you may remember the pain that comes from running up and down the bleachers. And they talked about how victory begins when there's nobody around. When there's nobody around, when you're outside of this group, when you're not in with your family, is there a time where you are alone with God running spiritual bleachers? There is no power outside of our life, and there is no way to operate within the framework of God's Word if there is not that time where we are disciplining ourselves to seek His righteousness, to seek His kingdom, and to seek Him. If there is not a time somewhere built into your day, built into your week, being a part of your life where you are hungry and you are seeking out the Word of God, and that you are doing just as we've seen Peter here, and you are praying, whether it's on your knees, next to your bed, standing, however you pray, whether it's walking, whether it's laying on your face. But I tell you, our light will not shine before men unless we're there with the one who lights the lamp. And that is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that fills us. The apostles had a faith that is very unfamiliar in our world today. So how is your walk with the Lord? Followers of Christ, how is your walk with the Lord today? We've seen over and over and over and over again this Jesus speaking about following his commandments. If you love me, keep my commands. Is it about a checklist? Is it about being under control? No, it's about love. It's about love. We see it in the Old Testament. We're wrapping up Numbers tomorrow, then we get into the book of Deuteronomy, and I can't wait to get into Joshua, especially now at Numbers, at how they're ready to go into the promised land. What does he say? He's talking about keeping his commands. We talked about our king's men, our men's ministry. We're with the verse where David is on his deathbed, and he's telling Solomon, his son, he could tell him everything, anything. Tell him about the kingdom, tell him about riches, tell him about victory in war, could give him battle strategies. He could tell him about women. He should have told him about women. If you think about Solomon, he could have told him anything. But he said, show yourself to be a man and follow the ways of God's Word. That's what it is about, His Word. And until we're in His Word, until we're praying, until we're seeking, we are not ready to exercise the spiritual gift that we have been given. How is your faith? Do you believe that you have a spiritual gift and the power of the indwelling God within you? Now, there are two extremes to spiritual giftedness, and you could say there could be more. But spiritual giftedness, again, among believers. First, some people are well aware of their giftedness, and they feel that they have the right to use it for their own advancement in their life. They often glorify themselves, whether it's publicly or it just maybe it's privately, because I feel better when I do this. They glorify themselves rather than allowing God to be glorified. We're giving spiritual gifts, and we see from the writings that we just read, the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, and what we saw in 1 Peter 4, as our spiritual giftedness is for one reason, and that is to glorify God. Next, we have some people who may not believe that they have any spiritual gift at all. And some of this, I believe, is rooted in selfishness. Let's look at Matthew 20:28, just a few pages over from where we are in Matthew 5, if you stayed there with me. But Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus is speaking to His disciples again. He's talking about greatness. Men, women, do you know that you have been called to be great? Don't we want to be great? But oftentimes we think of greatness like on the Rambo level or the football player level. I guess Rambo just dated me. Get my bandana. But I don't know who the new war heroes are. But here he's talking about greatness. And then in verse 28, he gets down here and he says, just as the Son of Man, Jesus is speaking about Himself, saying, just as I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ, He gives us the example, I have not come to be served, but to serve. And if our lives are to be like Christ, if we're going to be more like Jesus, we've got to serve others rather than expecting the church, or even sometimes expecting Jesus to be the servant of us all the time. When a person or a group of people refuse to embrace that a call to follow Jesus, that means your walk, your disciple, your salvation. But when we refuse to embrace that our call to follow Jesus is a call to serve, then we have lost sight of who He is. And then eventually, see if this doesn't sound like, again, generally the speaking, but maybe it hits close to home too. But eventually we will make being a Christian all about Jesus following or serving us, rather than us taking up our cross and following Him. Where the church serves us, not us serving it. And why do we serve the church? Why? To carry out the vision where everyone within the reach of our congregation will have the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how are they going to hear and respond to it? Because you're going to be exercising your spiritual gift, and the Holy Spirit that indwells you is going to work through that. That's how we serve. The purpose of us being of the church is not so much about the building, about the organization. It's so much about us coming and being equipped and going out and God being glorified. And then going out, and as we go out with that many, as we see with Peter in Acts 9, that many become, they believe in the Lord. That's what it's about. In our conclusion today, as Rhonda and Felicia come, you are equipped, each one of you, if you are a follower of Christ, you are equipped with a gift for the purpose of changing lives and glorifying God. It's part of our mission, extending the kingdom and God's grace to those that are serving in our church today. Whether you're a guest and maybe you're here on vacation and you're serving elsewhere. But I pray that God will be glorified through your service. I really do. But a word of caution to some of us that are serving, that we can, are you serving within your giftedness? Many times within the church, there are many holes where people have yet to step up and to serve in their place. And so some of us out of the, you know, want to rescue the ship from sinking, we'll jump into places and we're trying to do what we're gifted in doing, but we're trying to fill up all the holes, and sometimes that can be a dangerous place. Sometimes, as I just said, you know, a ministry becomes our baby. And so my question is, are you serving within your calling? Because if you're outside of your spiritual giftedness, it may be possible. I'm not saying all the time, because as we know that evangelism is a spiritual gift, and there's some men that are really great at sharing the gospel, and many respond to it. That's because why? Because the Holy Spirit is working through that giftedness of theirs. But we still all have the responsibility of sharing Christ. We still all have the responsibility of evangelizing when the Holy Spirit moves us to do so. But are we working within our calling? Are we working within the strength of the Holy Spirit that's within us? Or are we working within our own strength? Is it a good idea, or is it a God idea? Oh, the church is full of good ideas. And they're so good that even if you bring them before a business meeting, nobody's going to vote no against them. But they're so good that you're going to be working it for the rest of forever. And nobody's going to support it. Why? Because they'll vote for it, but they won't vote for it with their feet. They won't vote for it with their resources. They won't vote with it with their time. They won't vote with it with their treasures. Why? Because it's a good idea, and if it's a God idea, God will work through it. Are we serving God, or are we serving self? Is it for God's glory? Is it for our glory? There's many of you that are in here that are serving, and you've been serving a long time, and God has been glorified through your service. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're discouraged. And I just want to share the words of Paul from Philippians 3:14, and then also from Philippians, I think it's 4:13. He tells us to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. Why? Because of the upward call. Because of the Spirit that lives within you. Because of the strength of Christ that works through you. I didn't share that with you yet. But you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. Press on. Press on. We have many people who are serving. And I don't know where your hearts are today. But press on. Christ can strengthen you as you glorify Him and answer His call to service. To those not serving, I ask why. I've heard it said, I don't know who it was, I can't even remember who I said it was, and I've talked so many meetings and things, but there was a time that where we did a spiritual gift kind of thing. It was about a year and a half ago or something. And I heard it said that somebody wouldn't turn in their card because they'll find a job for them to do. We laugh, but shame on you. There is no glorifying God in that at all. That comment reveals selfishness. I challenge you and those of you that think much like that to repent. To repent. Why? Because our purpose is to love God, to love all people as Jesus loves us, and to live according to His Word. Why? To remember, it's in our mission to extend His grace and to glorify Him. That is why we're here. That's what we do. It's all for the purpose of glorifying God. Why? Because somebody's life might be changed. And usually when it happens, you won't even know what happened, because it's the Holy Spirit working through you. Another reason that many may not be serving, maybe it's pride. You know, I'm just too good. But usually you don't hear many followers of Christ saying, well, I'm just too good to serve. No, this is what we mostly hear. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. You know what? If you were good enough, then God would have no use for it for you. That's the whole reason. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're right, we're not good enough. But do your thoughts about yourself supersede what Christ says about you? He says, I've given you a gift. He says, I love you. He says, go and let your light shine before all men so that my Father may be glorified. Oh, if you're there, I've been there. I've been there. Don't let your thoughts about yourself supersede what Jesus Christ says about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And He loves you, regardless of what you've done, regardless of who you are. You know, maybe some of you just don't know what your spiritual gift is. You got, you know, maybe there's inside you got some holy discontents. Maybe there's just some things that are just, they fire you up. Well, guess what? We don't have to do everything within the confines of what we've understood church to be. The Holy Spirit can work through you in so many different ways, in so many different places, in so many different, He is more creative than we are. If you got a holy discontent, not just something that just ticks you off, I'm talking about something that is spiritual in nature that you know needs to be different, whether it's in the church, whether it's out of the church, whether it's your neighborhood, your workplace, maybe it's within yourself, maybe it's even within your home. Oh, just pray, Lord, what does this mean and how do I exercise it? Maybe it's a holy discontent that something must be different. Maybe it's not a good idea, but it's a God idea. And if it's a God idea, it's bigger than you. And you look at it and you say, there's no way I can do it. Even if you think highly of yourself, still a God idea will come to you in such a way. And I'm not saying good idea. I'm saying God idea. That is something from the Holy Spirit. If it's from the Holy Spirit, it'll be beyond your ability. And guess what? He will equip you to do it. Go and do it. Well, it doesn't fit in what we understand what church is like. Forgive us for how we've defined church and what it ought to be. Men, get up and go. Be great through the Holy Spirit and work and do things, whatever it looks like. If you notice in the way we've been doing things, no longer work. Why? Because they were good ideas and they were hardly ever God ideas. Let's get up and go. You know, maybe some of you are waiting to be asked. And I understand that. I used to be real introverted. Really introverted. Yes, Stephanie. I wouldn't even order through, you know, the drive-thru. She'd have to reach over and order through me and drive. Well, I had a speech impediment. It was just bad. And I couldn't rub two syllables together to, you know, make a word. It was challenging. But, you know, we became to serve. But every place that we served, we were asked. But it was, and I understand it. Some people say, well, they're just lazy. Why won't they get up? No, I understand it. Because you want to be respectful. You don't want to start stepping in and doing things because it's, you know, who are you to have the right to step up and say, hey, I'm going to do this now? You know, and so maybe you're waiting to be asked out of respect. I give you permission. Like, I have to. You don't need my permission. You need God's Holy Spirit power to move through you. But I give you the permission to go and start talking to me, to our deacons, to Lynn, who's over our nominating committee, and saying, hey, I want to serve. This was with all my heart. This is my spiritual gift, or I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Can you help me? I want to serve. Where can I serve? And we won't just say, hey, well, we know that we need somebody in preschool, so we'll stick you there. No, we're going to talk to you. Where is the Holy Spirit going to work through you? And that's where we want to help you do it. Well, we don't have a ministry for doing what I want to do. Well, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Maybe we need to start it. Maybe you won't even have anything to do here. Maybe we need to find something. Maybe it's going to be different. Maybe it's going to fail. Well, guess what? When it fails, we sit down, we figure out why, and we go and we do it again until we figure out the why. Why? Because we are glorifying our God. You know, maybe you truly have no gift. And if you truly have no gift, it's most likely because you have yet to truly receive the gift of salvation. And what is that? It's the gospel. God's own Son provides eternal life. Jesus Christ says that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, and nobody can come to Him, I mean to the Father, except through Him. It is through Jesus Christ. We have yet, we cannot understand the spiritual gift. We cannot exercise the spiritual gift. We do not have a spiritual gift, even though we may have certain talents and abilities within our own character. We cannot work with through the Holy Spirit's power if we have yet to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you are a person that fits that description, please don't leave today without talking to me. Jesus loves you. And if He's calling you to Himself today, I'll be right over here. I would love to talk to you about it. Good ideas versus God's ideas. His idea is that you have a gift. He loves you. He expects you to use it. He will work through it in you, and He will glorify Himself through it. And as we see the results through Peter, and many will believe in the Lord because of it. If you'll pray for us, y'all sing. May you be blessed.